It's St. Patrick's Day, and people are celebrating all over the world because, Robin, on this day, everyone's Irish, right?
We are dressed entirely in green. It's radio, and so...
I'm going to make the claim today as an American, South Asian, Irish broadcaster, but one of the biggest and oldest St. Patrick's Day parades is in New York City, of course, where the police department's Emerald Society pipes and drum team marched this morning. And earlier this week, President Obama hosted Irish leaders at the White House, and he said it's impossible to overstate the bond between the United States and the Emerald Isle.
We are braided together in so many ways, America and Ireland. We've been for centuries through history and bloodline. We've waged war side by side. We've waged peace side by side. We are family and we are friends.
Well, let's talk now about the Irish economy, because in the mid-1990s, things were booming, earning Ireland the title Celtic Tiger. But the boom ended when the housing bubble burst in 2007, and that triggered a banking crisis, which forced Ireland to rely on the European Union and the International Monetary Fund for a $90 billion bailout in 2011. And since then, Ireland has been digging out of that hole. So how's that going? Russell Padmore is BBC business correspondent. He's with us from Ballybuffet in Northwest Ireland. Russell, welcome to Here and Now, and forgive my mispronunciation, but happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Magna, thank you very much. Caid mila fortia and Féile Pádraig, which in the Irish language means a thousand welcomes on the Festival of St. Patrick.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well. Now, I hear you're outside, so where exactly are you at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I'm in the northwest of Ireland in a town known as Ballybuffet. It is a twin town just across the River Finn from me. 50 yards away is the town of Stranorla. And the great thing about being here is I'm not seeing the tourist island on St. Patrick's Day. There'll be 500,000 people in Dublin watching the parade there. There are hundreds of parades in small towns like this around the country. This is where my family roots are, and I'm getting back to the family. St. Patrick's Day, of course, is a worldwide celebration, and I suppose an excuse for Ireland to effectively put its business feelers out to show that the country's economy needs inward investment. And what greater day could there be across the world? Such a great brand is Ireland being put out, I suppose, on this St. Patrick's Day. A good excuse to advertise the country and celebrate, of course.
Well, so then, Russell, let's talk about that in more detail, because, of course, Ireland has gone through some profound economic ups and downs recently. What's the current state of the country's economic recovery?
Well, interestingly, if you look at the facts and figures, Meghna, you would see, on the face of it, a country whose economy is finally recovering after effectively falling off a cliff just a few years ago. The European Union and the International Monetary Fund in 2010 had to bail Ireland out with something like €83 billion. That debt was effectively put into the country's banks following the collapse of the economy brought about by the collapse of those banks. And all the facts and figures show that Ireland now is the fastest growing economy in the European Union. Now, we've seen the European Central Bank, of course, doing its best to prop up recently all the economies in the Eurozone. Ireland is one of those 19 countries in the Eurozone that use the euro currency. And if you look at the growth forecast from the European Commission, the statistics coming out of Brussels show that the forecast really is that Ireland will grow 4.5% this year and 3.5% next year. So, as I say, the fastest growing economy in the European Union. Compare it with the powerhouse economy, Germany, less than 2%, France, just about 1%, and the United Kingdom, which is not that far away from here. I'm on the border with Northern Ireland. 10-minute drive will take me into Northern Ireland, where the economy faces different challenges. The UK's economy due to grow about 2%, according to the EU.
Well, Russell, let me ask you, are the effects of this recovering economy in Ireland touching all the Irish? Because I'm seeing that the unemployment rate is still around 9%, and for young people under the age of 25, unemployment still is at 20%.
You're right. Unemployment and provision of new jobs here is a real challenge for the government. Now, I should say we've had years of austerity. When those emergency loans were given to Ireland, and they were loans, it wasn't a gift, Ireland will have to pay it back in the long term. They came with conditions from the International Monetary Fund and the European Union. And effectively, those conditions meant cuts in services, cuts in spending by the government, years of austerity. Now, we had an election here pretty recently, and it's turned out there is no government with overall control anymore. No one party has control. The different politicians now are trying to respond to the people of the country who rebelled against all of the cuts and the austerity by looking at the situation and say, well, maybe I'm going to vote for someone who's independent. So the political horse trading goes on. Interestingly, the Taoiseach, or the Prime Minister of the country, Enda Kenny, he's the caretaker Prime Minister. He's been in Washington meeting the President, Barack Obama, at the White House. The usual thing that goes on every year, Ireland puts together a nice bowl of shamrock, presents it to the American President, and once again, Ireland uses that as a way to press the brand forward. Now, interestingly, during the presidential campaign that's going on in the US, we aren't seeing too much of the playing up of the Irish card, although I should say, I suppose, people like Donald Trump, the only connection I can think of he has with Ireland is owning a golfing complex here, whereas Hillary Clinton could go back to her role in the peace process with the former Bill Clinton. But it's fascinating that Ireland is using this. Now, you talk about unemployment. The figures look bad. They would look even worse if we counted in the number of people who've actually left the country. Many, many young people have now gone back to working abroad. Irish people for generations emigrated as the economy tanked here continually for a long time. And this is why so many Irish people are in America, Australia, Canada, across Africa, all over the world. It's often said that one of the funny things you can do almost anywhere in the world is walk around a street corner and find an Irish bar. The reason is because there's an Irish community. And of course, I should say Massachusetts, where you are, of course, that is the one place in the US that claims to have the biggest population of Irish people.
The ebb and flow of Irish immigrants, of course, definitely well known quite strong as the economy rises and falls. But finally, Russell, I'm curious. We're seeing that Moody's has actually upgraded its economic growth forecast for Ireland. So maybe echoing what we talked about a little earlier about the current state of the economy there. Are the Irish people equally optimistic as a whole?
Well, it depends who you talk to, I suppose. Many people here have relatives abroad. I've got a nephew right now who's having to work in Sydney. Indeed, my brother has looked at his young children aged between 9 and 13 and wondered what is the future for them. There is a real challenge for the government here. Now, interestingly, we're looking at things like sales of new cars. If you want to see how the economy has turned up, car sales over the last 2 years have increased 30%. Retail spending is up too. Consumer confidence now is at its highest for 10 years, but there are many challenges. For example, there is a homeless crisis in this country. The local authorities don't have enough social housing. There are many people who are homeless having to live in hotels, entire families. And this is the challenge for the government to put this right. And it's kind of interesting. This comes at a time when the neighbouring part of Ireland, Northern Ireland, part of the UK, is looking at the situation that there's a referendum about British membership of the European Union going on. And the last thing the Republic of Ireland wants, because of all the trade links, is part of the island here, Northern Ireland, ending up outside the European Union. So there is a great fear here that if the British vote to leave, there could be problems in the other part of the island. But nevertheless, it's St. Patrick's Day. Everybody puts their woes and troubles behind them to celebrate this one day. And should I say as well that this is a special St. Patrick's Day? We're going into Easter week. 100 years ago, this year, in 1916, there was a rebellion in Dublin, and Irish people, after 800 years, finally achieved independence following that from the British Empire. And that was an earth-shattering event because it led to many other countries also following suit and the breakup of the British Empire. So events of 1916 are also being commemorated here as well. And it gives Ireland a chance to look at the state of the country now, 100 years on. No doubt about it, the economy is facing many, many challenges.
And all of a sudden, Russell, I've got lines from Yeats floating through my head. Thanks to you. The BBC's business correspondent, Russell Padmore, speaking to us from Ballybuffet in Ireland. Russell, many thanks.
Slán na bhaile, as they'd say here. Thank you for letting me join you, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you all.
And as Yeats said, wherever green is worn, our change changed utterly, a terrible beauty is born. By the way, on a completely different issue regarding Ireland, if you're thinking about making a little Irish soda bread today, check out our website, hereandnow.org. We had a bake-off in 2011. We've got several recipes there, including the winning one, courtesy of Mary Harrington.